It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Of course, in a few minutes, we're going to be bringing in a securities expert, Ice Trey, but I want to touch on a new development with one of our favorite peoples in the world.
Who?
Joe. No.
Well, he's got the favorite peoples thing, right?
Yeah. Craig Grant.
Oh, yes.
Esteemed boyfriend of the lovely and, I believe the quote was, ass like a transit bus, Juliana Avalos. Joe always gets into the heart of the matter. By the way, I cannot use YouTube for 2 weeks because of the video where she's sucking cock, where she's sucking a dildo.
Yeah.
So I got two strikes against me on YouTube. I can't post anything for 2 weeks, and if I get another strike against me, I'm getting my account
banned.
Kicked off. So I was actually going to put the interview that we're going to do with Ice Trey up on YouTube. I was actually going to do that. But perhaps I should wait now.
Maybe.
Well, you'll have to wait a little bit. But
I have to wait 2 weeks.
I can guarantee there'll be no nudity because he's not.
You'll be
here
on double secret probation.
Well, Joe's got layers. We'll see how long the interview goes.
We're not playing strip poker in here.
So anyway, we reported about a month or so ago. We reported on Craig Grant's latest alleged. Got to throw that out there.
Alleged.
Yeah, keeps the lawyers happy.
Yes. Keeps who happy?
Keeps the lawyers happy.
Sure. Scam. He is, of course, as we said, we know, the boyfriend of Juliana Valls, who we've done so much on. So the scam involved the cryptocurrency BitConnect. And I remember, as you recall, one of our listeners educated us onto how cryptocurrencies worked. I had an idea, and this person had a lot more knowledge with cryptocurrencies and fill in the blank. You know, in the past couple of months, I've been trying to educate myself, catch myself up to what all these cryptocurrencies are. Our guest, Ice Trey, has more knowledge than I do about it, but I'm rapidly learning, much like I did with scamming.
Yeah.
So I'm educating myself. But anyway, so it was alleged that BitConnect was a Ponzi scheme. And of course, as we all know, a Ponzi scheme is fraudulent, in which the belief that success of a non-existent enterprise is fostered by the payment of quick returns to the first investors from money invested by later investors. So, for instance, I say, hey, I got this great marshmallow fluff. I want you to go out there and sell it. Sell it. So I convince you guys to sell and go, and now you guys got to sell more marshmallow fluff. Get people to sell marshmallow fluff, and they get people. And for every person they get, you're going to get a kickback, but there is no marshmallow fluff.
Right.
Nobody, because I've never squeezed out the marshmallow fluff, but I'm convincing people that this exists. That type of thing. Ponzi scheme. Bernie Madoff. Ponzi scheme.
Pyramid scheme.
Yes. Pyramid scheme. That too. So amidst the rumors, I published everything I had on Craig Grant and Juliana Avalos because Craig Grant was out there very actively trying to promote this cryptocurrency BitConnect.
Right.
Signing people up for referrals in which he gets money back. Mm-hmm. That was part of the BitConnect allure. And I was just warning people, go, listen, you want to sign up? I'm not telling you about BitConnect. I don't, you know, I'm not, at this point, I don't know anything about a BitConnect, but I do know a little bit about this guy who's pushing it and his girlfriend who's also now pushing it. So I'm putting this out there. And I put it on some, I put it on davinsden.com under Craig and Juliana. And I went onto YouTube and I put it on I put the link on some pages where people were discussing Craig and BitConnect. And I noticed a lot of people who would say bad things about Craig Grant would be attacked.
Oh.
Because Craig Grant has always had his little followers. Nobody ever attacked me.
Right.
And I think it's just because I was like, if you looked at the page, you go, oh, there's too much shit here to fucking attack.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an asshole. He doesn't understand. Oh, fuck. They're bad people.
No, there's 4 pages here. I think he does.
Oh, wow. I didn't think a dildo could be sucked that way. Anyway.
I never saw somebody that disinterested sucking a dildo before.
She really is the worst dildo sucking.
I mean, I was bored.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had dildos ready and go, really?
It looks like he was waiting for the bus.
Matched her ass, right? Is that where That's you were right. going? Okay, Joe. Thank you. Anyway. So I was trying to warn people about what was going on. I was getting some thank yous for that. So last week, BitConnect crashed dramatically.
Yeah.
And much of the site was closed down. It started going bad when two states ordered BitConnect cease and desist, meaning they could not do business in those states. They were ordered to register with the securities commissioner or have granted the necessary exemptions to do so. They did not. And then the bottom fell out. They halted their lending service, which was a key way for investors to make their money. They also ended their exchange program. They're still around, but the coin, the BitConnect coin, has rebounded some. But at one point, it was down 90% in the
Dow.
Yeah, like at the bottom really fell out of that. I'm just trying to get my place here. So it's now BitConnect, because it is no longer traded on reputable cryptocurrency exchanges. A bunch of exchanges where you can change, like Ethereum, that's one of them. Bitcoin, those are some other cryptocurrencies where they're traded. BitConnect is no longer really traded on the on reputable cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
Make sense so far?
Yeah. Well, are these trading on the stock market?
No, not on the stock market.
Okay.
No, there's cryptocurrency exchanges.
That work,
I guess, like the stock market, except there's nobody really regulating them, which is one of the attractions of the cryptocurrency. There's no centralized regulation. But there
right.
Are,
there's
but
no. Well, how could the SEC get involved if they're not being traded on a regular stock market?
Well, they're still doing business.
Oh, so, I see. Okay.
So if you think something is a scam,
yeah.
You can't do your scam in our state
gotcha.
Unless you do X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
That's why they're doing it.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't the federal government. It wasn't an exchange. It wasn't the NASDAQ.
Right.
It was the states trying to protect the people and their citizens.
Okay, I understand.
You got it?
Yeah.
I know. This is a lot for a woman who's still getting catalogs. I get it. Not your fault.
Look, I'm still learning how my cell phone works.
I understand.
Deal with me.
So now, in order to make it right, BitConnect started issuing BitConnect coins, not Bitcoins. Bitcoin is still doing well. It's had low highs. Bitcoin's probably the most known cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Well, it's like kind of like when you hear Kleenex, you think all Kleenex are tissues.
Right.
No. Not all cryptocurrencies are Bitcoin.
Right.
But that's the one most people associate it with.
Yes.
So if you wanted to buy BitConnect coins, you had to do it in Bitcoins.
Okay.
So now what BitConnect started saying, hey, we're still around. But and you gave us Bitcoins to buy BitConnect coins, but we're just going to give you more BitConnect coins, which can now only be traded on their exchange.
Okay.
But they're saying, but hey, we're going to give it to you at this higher evaluation. So we're going to give it to you at the evaluation before the market fell out of it.
Okay.
So believe in us. We're hang in there.
Yeah.
That was the strategy. So they're giving you coins that you can't trade anywhere else. So a lot of people lost their life savings, according to self-reporting on the internet, and there's stories on it.
Wow.
And we've gotten messages thanking us for warning and saving folks from financial disaster from putting all that stuff on there.
Yeah.
So I just tried to do an explanation of explaining this in layman's terms.
Yeah.
I know more, but I thought, you know what? There's probably somebody who could explain this better than I can.
Let's hope.
Who's
I'm sorry, better than we can. I don't know what we're talking about.
You know, out of all the squirrels we've hit in our fucking travels, why doesn't she ever run in front at night?
We'll keep.
And I'll tell you what, the answer did not come quickly to him. He had to mull that one
over. We thought about that for a long time. We'll deal with this later.
So anyway, our guest, Ice Tray, that's his real name, has been providing security expertise to internet service providers for 17 years, including Time Warner Cable and Warner Brothers. Good thing it's not fucking Altice. I wouldn't have him on the fucking show. Fuck Altice. Taking away my stars. But that's not the point. So we welcome to the show. Welcome to Davin's Den, Ice Tray. How are you, Ice Tray?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, Davin?
Good, man. Thank you for joining myself, Joe, and Pip. We appreciate you taking some time out of your evening. Now,
sure, absolutely.
Ice Tray, how does your expertise in security serve you in looking at a product like BitConnect?
Well, honestly, what I do, you know, a lot of people would think what I do has to do with the internet, but the reality of what I do has nothing to do with the internet. What it is and what I do is finding scams in the new frontier. So the reality is, you know, for most of my career, I've worked on the internet until fairly recently when my girlfriend started getting into cryptocurrency. I kind of realized she was walking into a den of thieves, so I started doing some research. Honestly, the technicalities of the product also interest me as well. So it was a fairly easy transition to just starting research. So that's kind of why I've ended up in that particular market and why the two bridge the gap as well. So,
okay. Did I pretty much have the gist of what went down with BitConnect?
Yeah, the biggest things to understand about BitConnect is how the refund happened. And the reality is what ends up happening is that these people would go in and they would buy the coin, and they would have to give away their BTC. That is one of the most important parts of this.
Let me explain what BCC is. BCC is Bitcoin.
Okay, sorry.
Bitcoin.
BCC is Bitcoin.
Okay. Right.
Real Bitcoin, as opposed to their Chuck E. Cheese token.
Allegedly.
Thank you.
So, anyways, you would have to come to the party with actual Bitcoin in your wallet. You have to have ready to spend. Ready. They don't want cash. And if you do buy it with cash, they'll convert your cash to Bitcoin first. So anyways, people would load up, and they were encouraged to spend the maximum spending level, loan level that you could do was $7,500, I believe, which, of course, incurred all sorts of crazy interest rates, somewhere on the order of 1.5 to almost 2% if you actually incurred all their bonuses. Of course, I don't need to tell you that's crazy. You're talking billions of dollars within months for a very simple and small investment.
Now, did anybody ever? Did anybody ever?
Just don't add up.
Did anybody ever like write to the BitConnect website, because nobody ever knows who these people are? I mean, go, well, how does this work? I'm doing the math. It doesn't make sense. Or were people just that had the dollars in their eyes, like is often the case, and they just go, okay.
Well, honestly, that's actually one of the other things that's interested me about this, and it's why I contacted you, is because I see another pattern. I see Web 2.0, essentially. When the dot-com explosion happened, it happened in almost the same way. You had consumers that were incredibly ignorant about the products that they were investing in. And that's basically what it really comes down to in these things, is that you want to understand what it is, and if you don't, you have no business in investing in it. The reality is that's exactly the ignorance that these kind of operators predicate on. Their secret bot, which allegedly made trading decisions, which could provide somewhere on the order of, they were talking of thousands of percent on each trade, simply doesn't exist. It's not there. So these people were being paid back with new investor funds. And, of course, that's the classic definition of a Ponzi. The biggest difference of all of it is when they refunded, instead of refunding in BTC or in what is known as fiat currency, which would be any currency that's actually backed by a government, such as dollars, they refunded in Chuck E. Cheese tokens. And that's exactly when the crash happened, of course, because the minute that they did that, the stock price at that point was on a race to zero because the supply exceeded demand. Nobody wants to buy them, but yet everybody wants to sell them, which means in Philadelphia it's worth $15.
So how does Craig Grant show up on your radar? So you came across BitConnect, you heard this buzz, and you know you being educated, and this being part of what you look for, you immediately knew this was not something kosher. But how does Craig Grant show up on your radar?
So I'm sitting here, and there's lots of legitimate videos out there about cryptocurrencies if you'd like to educate yourself. They go over the technical analysis, and one of the keys of watching the difference between watching a shill and watching a real educational video is they usually go through several currencies, and they don't just sit there showing you, say, their BitConnect wallet, which is exactly what Craig does. Now, why
let
he
me
showed
explain,
up on my
hold
radar?
Hold on. Ice tray. Let me explain what that is, because I got to explain to that. That's how much that's how much you have. So what Craig Grant would do in his videos is he was showing you pretty much every day how much money he was making on loans, and then he was like showing you. I remember when he lived in a greenhouse that his sister paid for, and now he's showing you how they're living in this condominium in Miami. So, and Craig Grant always likes to showcase his life. So now what he's doing, he's taking the strength and our weakness of loving voyeurism. And he's marrying that with, look how much money I'm making, but look at my wallet, and you can do this too. Just use my referral. Do I have that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you know these guys as well as I do, it's always about the lifestyle. It's never about education. It's always you can be a millionaire. It's never about, hey, this currency is doing something really interesting or neat or new. So when his videos would pop up, he bought, and they were really obnoxious ads because they were like, they weren't 30 seconds. They were like 3 and 5 minutes long. If you'd be watching a legitimate cryptocurrency analysis video that's teaching you stuff about Bitcoin and how it's going up and down and what expectations you might have by looking at the graph, it would be interrupted with one of Craig's 5-minute videos with him just leading you around his wallet And like I said, I've said before, it's literally the antithesis of the analysis videos. There's literally no content there. It's just him showing you his apartment and his Lamborghini or whatever else he wants to show you to show the lifestyle that he lives.
It's the bright and shiny. It's not the nuts and bolts. It's the bright and shiny, which is how these hucksters work. That's what they do. They lure you in. You can be like me if you just follow my easy steps and do this. And you think, well, if somebody was really making money that way, why would they want to share it like that?
Yeah, why do you want other people in on your game? Why don't you just make more for yourself?
Exactly. So,
Go on. I was going to say the other side of that is this is basically a proposition bet when you get it, because you can make money like Craig Grant, but you have to get in at the right time. That's the proposition bet part of this. You have to get in at the beginning. If you get in when all the suckers get in, you're going to have nothing but pain and heartache when Craig walks away with your money.
Yeah, it's too late at that
point. So how does BitConnect differ from Bitcoin and Ethereum, which are two of the more popular cryptocurrencies? What's the difference between those?
Well, the biggest difference between them is they're actually traded on legitimate markets. If you were talking about the stock market, the equivalent of BitConnect and companies like BitConnect would be called over-the-counter sales. And what that means is you can't buy them in an exchange. You have to walk up to the store, to their customer service, and buy their stock right from them. And it usually what'll end up happening, you'll see a company, if it's been on a stock exchange and it crashes and it goes bankrupt, it'll get delisted. And then at that point, any stock sales that continue usually are over the counter. This is basically the same thing. And it's one of the benefits, honestly, of cryptocurrency, but it's also the part that makes it the Wild West.
Because
anybody can issue one. I'm going to issue Trey coins this week just as an experiment to learn more about how to connect and talk to the servers and more detailed research into the coins themselves.
Put Joe down for $1,000, by the way.
So do
Bitcoin and Ethereum have lending programs like BitConnect?
No, that is one of the primary big differences, is they absolutely do not have lending programs. They do not have – most coins also do not have referral bonuses. Honestly, that's one of the things you got to start thinking about when you're signing up. I don't understand how people are signing up thinking they're getting 3%, and they're basically giving you cash. So they gave you 3% cash. That had to come from somewhere. So the reality is that these stocks are, like I said, they're essentially self-issued. So you have to be very confident in the security and the trustworthiness of who you're buying them from. No longer does a scammer have to go set up a proper Ponzi scheme. He can just run some software in his basement and set up a blockchain and put up a snazzy website and get ready to roll.
So I'm taking you did not buy any BitConnect.
Absolutely not. I saw that and I said no. The reality is, if it's promising a 1% compounded daily percentage return, no, that's a Ponzi scheme.
And that falls
that simple.
That falls under the too good to be true, which is another sure sign that something's a scam, correct?
Absolutely. And honestly, it's not just scams you have to worry about. It's one of the reasons I said you really should be able to read the documentation and understand why your investment is a good idea. Mm-hmm. There's a token out there. I'm not necessarily saying it's a scam. It's called B Token. And basically what they're proposing is basically creating a blockchain, creating a currency for Airbnb. So it's basically not Airbnb the company, but they're trying to create an Airbnb within their own blockchain. So you would just automatically pay for your stay at the suite or whatever with their token.
Okay.
Except one thing, that makes it all decentralized. That's a terrible idea. Why? I mean, I haven't read their white paper yet, but I've already got a bunch of questions about what happens when people abuse your house.
Well,
how you can recoup and what you can do when they've overstayed their welcome, et cetera. It's like decentralized. It doesn't make sense in that case.
Well, I'm guessing what they would say.
I won't be investing in that one either.
I'm guessing what they would say is, well, we'll give you more of our tokens. But if you can't exchange those tokens for anything else but stays at other houses, it's really worthless.
Well, no, it depends on if it gets picked up by another exchange. And that's one of the important things that your listeners really need to know. You should not be buying stock from a place that only sells one stock. You should not be buying coins from a place that only sells one coin. If you're buying Bitcoin from Bitcoin, you're doing it wrong. You should be buying it from another exchange. And it's just because of the authenticity. Like I said, you don't know who you're handing that money to. Anybody can start a blockchain. It's just an XLS spreadsheet, basically.
Explain to the listeners what a blockchain is again. I've done it before, but explain to them in layman's terms what a blockchain is.
So basically what it is a shared XLS spreadsheet. And on the XLS spreadsheet, there are numbers, just like any other spreadsheet that you have in your office. The only difference is that the rows are labeled in basically random characters. It depends on how the particulars of that particular blockchain do it. But it's still, you have your wallet address, essentially, and that's more or less unlinked other than your login basically linking to it. But if you look at the blockchain within itself, there really is nothing linking your wallet to anything. So for more or less, it's basically anonymous. The other thing is it's also public. One thing that I can tell you about the BitConnect company is that I think about $40 million worth of their worthless token went through, and I believe they profited about $40 million. And that's just from analyzing the actual blockchain because it is all public. I can also tell you about BitConnect because it is all public and verifiable, that four of the Bitcoin wallets actually own 50% of all of the tokens.
I had actually heard the number was even higher than that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That was before the crash. Now that wallet, those wallets are no more. They're not there.
So theoretically, they could control the price if they like decide to like sell it or issue more. Right? Is that the danger in that?
Can you repeat? I missed your question.
So, like, if so many people own that much of a percentage of the coins that are out there, they can artificially manipulate the price based on whether they decide to sell it all or issue new coins. Is that the problem?
Absolutely. And then there's also the problem of the exit. If there was a trading bot, then maybe something happened. But the reality is, the exit, they didn't issue refunds. They just gave people the coins that they already held in their wallet. So those weren't real refunds. That wasn't like, oh, we took it off the exchange and gave it back to you. They already had these tokens sitting around in their wallets. That's why the four wallets are actually very, very important. When they issued the refund, it wasn't a refund at all. It was basically just, here's a bunch of useless junk to slow you down in your reporting and or to the authorities. So
say Pip wants to get into the cryptocurrency market. She's a novice to it. What should Pip look for when she wants to pick her cryptocurrencies?
Well, what you want to do is you want to look at the complexity of the white paper. Even if you don't read the white paper and understand it, there's a certain elegance that the white paper should have. And here's an example. A couple of different coins that I've read have a white paper that's simply 44 pages. Now, that doesn't sound all that crazy until you realize those are completely unproven. They may or may not actually extend the technology at all. And then when you compare them to the Bitcoin white paper, it's 9 pages and it changed the world. So the reality is you need to look at it and you need to understand what the project's doing and it needs to make sense.
So what you're saying is, hold on.
I don't understand where the money comes from.
I straight. Let me slow you down.
Sorry, I didn't.
That's okay. So if you're looking to get a new, Bitcoin is already established. So if you were going to go cryptocurrency, that's the gold standard. But now somebody else issues a new coin. It's still very cheap. What you're saying is, if you're going to go after one of these new coins, they should be able to do something that other coins can't do, correct?
Correct. And not only that, it shouldn't be a secret. That was the big thing with the BitConnect. They had a white paper on their site. It was a PowerPoint deck, and it was full of nothing but bullet points. Absolutely zero detail about how the bot worked. That's exactly why you shouldn't invest in that. You don't understand how it works. Don't invest.
So it's a lot of trust.
And some of these are really difficult to understand, honestly. Bitcoin, even within itself, is kind of hard to understand. But if you think about it as buying gold, it's actually pretty much the same. And that's actually what the U.S. laws have started treating it as. It's a commodity that's traded the same as gold.
See, when I look at something like this, Because to me, it's still a lot of it's up in the air. But when I look at something like this, you look at Bitcoin and go, okay, there's like major companies, like I believe Subway is one of them, where you can actually use Bitcoin to actually get a tangible service or something I can hold. To me that's like, okay, I understand it. Even if I don't understand the technology or I don't understand a blockchain, I understand, go, okay, if I buy this cryptocurrency, I can use this to get myself a sandwich, a Ford, something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the other thing to also think about it as is PayPal. PayPal essentially, and I mean functionally, I'm not talking about how it's actually built, it essentially is a cryptocurrency. You put money in one side and it comes out the other. And that's essentially, it doesn't matter how many units of PayPal they move around or if it coincides with the dollar or not. That part doesn't matter. The reality is it works exactly the same. So if you wanted to go buy something, it's the exact same in that regard. You would just use it exactly that way. And I can already tell you the new Amazon store in Seattle, where you just walk out, I do believe takes Bitcoin, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So let's get back to BitConnect for a brief second. So BitConnect is not dead. It's actually rebounded a little bit last time I checked. Like, the bottom was $5. Each coin was worth $5. Last time I checked, it's up to like $35. So people are actually buying more of these, and that's what people like Grant and some of his other associates are doing. They're telling you, hold your Bitcoin. And in fact, yeah, BitConnect.
They keep suggesting it, and that's why that's important too. The company is named absolutely to cause confusion. Even the coin symbol is near the same for BitConnect or for Bitcoin. It is BTC, Bravo Tango Charlie. Whereas for BitConnect, it's Bravo Charlie. So even the ticker symbol is meant to be confusing.
Right. So what? Then they're trying to now BitConnect is trying to start another cryptocurrency, and they're telling the people that have already, like, hold on to your BitConnect coins, and you can use these BitConnect coins to purchase the new cryptocurrency that we're going to be putting out there. What do you make of that?
Did you like our last scam? Try our new scam.
Nice.
So your advice would be run. That would be your advice.
Yeah. The reality is that BitConnect X is not sold in America. They may have changed this, but the last time I looked at it, that is not very clear. And one thing that is not very clear as well is that if you actually give them your money, and you're in the U.S., you will probably get your money back. The question will be when, because they'll essentially use it as a interest-free loan. And because the reality is, you already knew you weren't supposed to get it back. So they'll just delay it and use it as an interest-free loan. And there have already been people who have been complaining about that with BitConnect X, from what I've heard.
Do you think Craig Grant, who heavily promoted BitConnect, lost money like everybody else? You look at his wallet, he's still showing you his wallet. It's a lot lower, obviously. Do you think he lost everybody like money? Everybody else, or do you think it's a scam?
The top three of any pyramid, top three or four levels of any pyramid scheme is always the operators.
And you think he's top?
Especially in this case, because the software makes the distribution of the profits in that automatic. So, yeah, absolutely. I guarantee you Craig is on level number two. Mm-hmm. I believe Trayvon James and a few other people are around there as well. And then there are lower levels from there. After you get to about level five, it's nothing but suckers. People who are just going to lose their money.
So you think Craig Grant might have been actually part of the brains of this thing?
I used to think that when I was first talking to you, and we've talked about that a little bit earlier today too as well. Yes and no. I think he's definitely involved a little bit more than he looks, because it kind of looks like all Craig scams where he's always a little minimally involved. But we already know he isn't.
Somebody's got to hold the camera while she sucks a dildo.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said somebody has to hold the camera while she sucks a dildo.
Absolutely. He's definitely upper tier, especially in the Americas. The way the whole thing is structured, I think each individual regional area is its own pyramid, but I don't necessarily have proof of that yet. That's just my suspicion.
But you think he's got a lot of the money. You don't think he took it that badly?
Oh yeah, no, he's absolute. He didn't lose any money. I guarantee you that. He may have shown a loss of $100,000, but I guarantee you he made at least eight out of this scam.
See, my
I want to say a million, but I think it's a little too hyperbolic.
See, while you might be right, that he's in it more than he lets on is because he went from his little greenhouse that his sister was paying for, allegedly, to he's got this nice condo. So if he was just trading like everybody else, all that money was essentially worthless. But he still... So how did he amass all that money? Did he pay for that condo with bitcoins? You know what I'm saying?
No. No. That's all coming from BitConnect, I guarantee you. It's because he's getting it all from referral fees. He doesn't have to trade at all.
See, that's...
And like I said, there is no bot. It's literally just the profits being redistributed. If you want to look, there's another company that I think is actually responsible for creating the software. It's called MMM, and they were a Ponzi scheme that ran out of Russia in the early 90s. The guy that's the head of that is actually a Russian programmer, and I've been digging around in his stuff today, and it seems like he's programmed a system for redistributing profits via MLM and blockchain. You can find a couple of different announcements about that. So, now Craig has definitely made his money, I assure you.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he was like a paid promoter. Like, I feel like he knows more than he lets on, but I also feel like he lost some money. I don't think he got hurt the way some people lost all their investment, because I think he does know the people in charge, and I think Craig is a very good salesman, and I think they were paying.
Yeah.
I think they were paying him to sell. So I think Craig was probably getting paid in cash or maybe Bitcoin to sell that product. That's my personal feeling on it.
I don't know. Like I said, I think he's involved a little bit because and I need to investigate the company side of this. But like I said, anybody with a computer in the cloud or a basement and a cable modem could set up a blockchain. But he's got a new coin that he's already, I mean, literally, the ashes hadn't even cooled yet from BitConnect, and he starts pumping Devor coin, which once again has absolutely no reason to exist. Its white paper, I believe, is 44 pages. Of confusing garbage for no particularly good reason, and it's set up with the lovely glowing referral program and all the other marks of a Ponzi scheme. So he's pretty much gotten right back to work, and he's admitted on video a couple times that he is involved in Devor. He has literally said Devor is mine.
Shocking, so because he's usually so good at covering his tracks.
But he's involved a little bit more, I think, than a salesman, but. Whether or not he's the gangster I might be thinking of is a whole different question.
Yeah, I don't think he's got brains for that. I got to be honest with you. I've been watching this guy. Oh Christ! For like 5 years, 6 years, too long. I've been watching him for too long. I don't think he's that bright. I think he's got a charisma, and I think he has the ability to get people to follow. I don't think he's that technically. I think he can sell. I think he knows marketing. I think he has good interpersonal skills if you're of that mind to believe in some of the stuff. But I don't know if he's got the mind to develop this type of technology. That's just my feeling.
You don't have to develop it, though. That's the beauty of it. You can take a failed coin, take their white paper, take their website, take their design, take the graphics, put it all back out, rename it, and you're ready to rock. That's what I said. Anybody can do this. That's the big thing everybody's got to remember.
By the way, Davin's Den coin will be hitting. Will be having an initial coin offering next week. I encourage everybody to buy. What it does is, if you get the coin, it enables you to go to supermarkets and pet stores and buy cat litter. So it's a very useful, It's called DDC, Davin's Den coin, and
it's my favorite.
It is Pip's favorite. I suggest everybody gets it. And if you buy 500 DDC with our initial coin offering, you can go see Joe's band Fragile Sky. So I mean, it's really a very versatile cryptocurrency. I encourage everybody to get it.
But you really do want to save it and use it on cat litter.
Yes, that's what I said. Well, Ice Tray, we appreciate you taking some time and explaining this to us.
Thank you very much.
Researching some more of one of our favorite subjects, the always fascinating Craig Grant. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. So it sounded like one of the things he was saying was that Russian programmer that he was talking about, it sounds like they found a way to almost like launder cryptocurrency.
Which is odd for the Russians, because we don't hear those rumors at all.
They're never involved in anything underhanded.
No, no. Not the they're our pals.
I still find it very confusing. Still find it all very confusing.
Yeah, it is. We have old minds. We have old brains. We weren't raised
right,
on this.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was trying to put it together, you know, as he was speaking. And I
was
thinking...
That's why we'd like try to break in.
No. Yeah, I understand.
And I'm glad that you explained what the wallet was, because I'm like, what? But it sounds like he's running his own MTV Cribs, you know, and going, look what I got with all this stuff.
That's what a lot of the videos are.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this lifestyle that I have, you can have it too. Here's what I'm going to... But he's very careful. You don't have to have it. I'm just showing you what I do.
Yeah, but
I'm a good guy.
Yeah, but you want to know, say, you mentioned like Cribs, but like any Sunday morning show that you turn on, that like early in the morning on a Sunday, you know, you have a bunch of these guys... You know, selling this stuff.
They're usually selling Jesus, aren't they? Isn't that what they're selling on Sunday
morning? There's some guy.
The other guys have palm trees behind them, and they're talking about real estate and how they made it.
Yeah, there was a guy on a site, you know, I woke up on Sunday morning, the TV was on, and, you know, there was
as chance would have it, the Jack Daniels was next to the couch. How did that happen? Somebody woke up with a cottony mouth, and the TV happened to be on.
No, I just, what did I just say? I came home from a gig.
My version was better.
I
like this
rock
version too. Yeah,
I made you sound like an interesting human being.
Yeah,
one sock on and one sock off.
But you know,
it was a fun night. I like the new beach motif. It's like he's taking me out someplace fancy. It's weird though. He wants me to wear a bikini. I don't understand. I'm a boy sock, but whatever. I'm living in Joe's world, taking Joe's marshmallow fluff.
You're really a boy sock with that voice?
I am. He's emasculated me.
We're sloppy.
I catch all the droppings.
I'm covered in marshmallow fluff.
That's not sand.
Oh my god. What? It's not sand. Ew.
Yeah, it's not the jellyfish you have to watch out for. Sometimes I get full and can't take no more.
Oh my god. Oh, thank god you're absorbent, Sock.
I'm the quickest sucker upper.
I was on the clips this week. We were talking about Belinda making socks.
Joe woke up for socks. Joe was very invested in socks.
Belinda was making. And then I told the story of this. We used to go to this comedy, whatever it was, improv show. Whatever.
It was a mic of some.
It was a mic of some sort. And there was this woman there that used to have socks and like a sock family and do a sock show. And we used to go there all the time to do our spots. And the first couple of times you would think a net would drop on this woman. I'm getting caught up in the story.
I believe one of the socks had a yarmulke.
Yeah. So like every week I'm like, you know, we got to get there, you know, I want to get there by 8. Well, what's the big deal? I want to see what's going on with the sock lady.
That's where we met. I was hanging out the back. Oh, our eyes met. Joe liked the cut of my jib and the stripes at the bottom of my body.
The cut of my jib?
Yes.
What's a jib?
You knew back in the day.
He sent me over a beer.
Hey, work your own side of the drawer a little bit, lady. This is my voice and my bit. And my cock.
Well, it's not only your voice.
For the purposes of the show, it's my voice.
Once again, I got to get the veils out. But nonetheless. That was actually his wife.
My God,
went from like talking sense to your fucking jizz sock.
Yeah, I know.
That's how this show works.
Yes, that's pretty much how everything works.
Cryptocurrency and educating you and making you sense to the thing that Joe jerks off into. Don't shake your head no.
Oh, it's awful.
It is. But I love it.
Let's see. Cut of the jib. Ships have a jib. It's something like it's something about the sail.
Yeah.
The forward sail on a ship. Yeah. I like the cut of your jib. Forward sail on a ship.
Don't like the cut of your jib. Low energy.
It's going to be great.
It is, Joe. It is.
So I'm trying to understand. I'm back to cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah. Move on.
When he was talking about the thing. No, when he was talking about the thing about Chuck E. Cheese coins, did he literally mean Chuck E. Cheese coins?
No.
I meant
they were worthless, stupid.
I know, but I was... I was checking.
I could have seen this on your Money Matters. No, stupid. It doesn't mean...
No, stupid.
Jesus Christ.
Did it not deserve a stupid?
No, it doesn't, because the stuff is...
is very, you know,
very it's confusing for us old.
Right, I'll come over. I'll set the time on your VCR, and then we'll go over cryptocurrency.
Thank you.
I'll bake cookies.
I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. Don't you say you're going to do things that I'm going to expect that you're going to not do, all yeah. right? You know where that leads us, and it's no place good. Don't do that.
Young man, come over and tell me a story about white paper.
Read me out of my catalogs.
Let's see, I need some more girls well, out you know, of the Sears catalog.
I mean, you know what, to be fair.
It is complicated.
It's complicated. You know, you're talking about terminology you're not used to hearing.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, but it's like the scam thing. Like, there's the technical thing of it, and then I'm trying to break it down and, like, say it in layman's terms and, you know, and have people that know more of the technical aspect of it.
Yes.
And trying to merge it all together so that our listener can get a handle on it.
What, I mean, there is...
Did I just say our listener? Really? Our one listener. So our one listener can get a handle on it.
Well, here's the thing.
We're listening. We're working for you, Johnny Reb. We want you to understand.
Well, listen, all three of them want to know right now.
She crippled it. So, you know, what am I going to say?
Our rating's grown within a minute.
Pip has that effect.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, we're talking about pretend before the internet. Trying to explain to somebody.
I think I was alive during that time.
I know. I know. But pretend before the internet, when if somebody was to explain to you. What
Tell me about that magical time, Mommy. What was it like before you could get porn with just an upload?
And well, it was scrambled.
And I know that.
Scrambled porn. You made Things it, our kids will never
you
know.
You made it work.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
You did.
That's when imagination was valued.
Yeah. You tilt your head while you're doing other things.
Right. I interrupted Nana. I apologize.
That's okay. I was just saying that, you know, before the internet, trying to explain to somebody what the internet was going to be and how it was going to work, it's just like this thing that's invisible. But now we're talking about currency that doesn't you can't hold in your hand. So that's far out for some people already. But then you're talking about the difference between legitimate, if it really
well,
that's
is. That's why I say
Bitcoin versus.
That's why I say
Bitcoin.
You know if you can hold it, like if you can you trade it in for Subway sandwiches,
yeah.
or a Ford car, it makes it more understandable.
Well, more tangible.
I think the best example that was given during the whole segment was you brought it up gold. It's like when you buy gold, you're buying gold on the value of gold that's sitting somewhere.
Yeah. The guys brought that up.
Whoever. That's the best analogy of it because you don't come home with a stack of gold bars. Look what I got today, honey. You know you buy. The gold based on the value of the gold of gold sitting somewhere in a vault or wherever it is.
Well, it's also
it's in my living room. that's what my couch is made of. It's the best couch, best gold. It's 19 and a half carat. I could have had 24, could have 18.
He's a humble
rich.
Man.
What?
He was a humble man. That's
why. Why are you only talking
that's
about.
That's why he got elected. He's a humble man.
Why are you only talking about the couch? It's every place. It's on the toothbrushes. It's everywhere.
Yes.
But. Here's the thing is that what if you're talking about it's most people don't understand that the U.S. currency used to be based on a gold standard that literally the pieces of paper were connected to gold bars sitting in a vault. Now it's not anymore,
right.
But it used to. Like a silver certificate literally said this is worth this piece of silver. Mm-hmm. But they don't exist anymore.
They
that
don't show,
way.
And like yeah, right. And but even like and the same thing with the gold. They don't show you where the silver is.
Right.
They don't
no,
show you where the gold is.
Right, my teeth, right here.
Right. But this
wait,
is
the, filling
this
coins.
Is, yeah. This is going right at the gold. This is where you bought the gold in. Mm-hmm. So it, with that in mind, it gives you a little bit of a better understanding on how Bitcoin. You know, the Bitcoin works.
Bitcoin is the quote-unquote gold standard. That's the one everybody knows.
Yeah.
That's why I said it's like, kind of like Kleenex or
right.
Xerox.
Right, right,
That's
right.
the one everybody
That's a good
knows.
Analogy.
I actually just got asked today to talk about a little bit on a radio show, terrestrial radio show, when they said it, you talk about Bitcoin. And, you know, I didn't say, well, you know, I just said, yeah, I can talk about cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
A little bit. Because it's we all, if layman think, oh, it's all Bitcoin. It's not. There's a bunch of them out there. And like I said, we can create one. We could make a Davin's Den coin. And the question
it's
is,
just
if people start buying it and start using it, then it has value. Otherwise, it doesn't.
Yeah, and at one point does it go? With the difference I was talking about is the difference between Bitcoin, which is the gold standard, versus Bit. I almost said BitConnect. Bit isn't it BitConnect coin?
Which one? The one that
the bad
that,
one.
Bad one.
Bad.
BitConnect
coin
yes.
is the one that's more like people need to understand the difference between the gold standard one and the one that is part of a Ponzi scheme. And I think that that is a subtle difference for people who don't understand invisible money anyway.
I think we just did the fucking segment.
Yeah, I think you did.
That's kind of the conversation we had with Ice Tray.
Yes.
Okay. Glad we met your expectations.
I'm glad I caught up.
Now we'll talk about something we know a little bit more about.
Well, like Trucker Tom just said, nothing will ever beat the scrambled porn game of guessing the position and is that a boob?
You know, that's very valid. Because, you know, is it a boob? Is it a knee? Is it a nut? Nut was always disappointing.
And then when you see the boob, you know, all right, it's right here on the screen. It's going to come back in a second. If I work quick and just plan everything accordingly.
The worst is because you are working on the clock. The worst is you get a nice clear moment. It goes to boob. Mm. And then another, like on the top, then the boob scrambles, and you finish, and you realize now there's ass in the right-hand corner, and you came to man-ass. That's the worst part.
Right.
I started off heterosexual, I wound up homosexual. That's the worst part is about scrambled porn.
Right.
The things our kids will never have to worry about.
Hey! Yeah.
Am I gay now? Only if I walk.
As long as I get this horizontal hold going, yes.
Horizontal hold?
Isn't it more vertical at that point?
I know, so they used to have the control, horizontal hold.
She thought you were talking about your cock.
No, I turned it into a cock joke.
Ah.
Yeah, you go, crap.
I know what horizontal hold is.
Did you?
Yeah.
No idea.
Oh, yeah, because we're that much older than you.
We
still
years
had that. Yeah.
Know what horizontal hold is.
You have that in catalogs. I have cryptocurrency.
I tell you, I used to love when the Sears catalog used to come, the Christmas catalog, come every September.
Yes.
I would sit by that mailbox like a big dog. Every day in August, waiting for that damn thing to show up.
Yep.
And when it did, it was like fucking party time.
You should have been here for the first segment. I talked about that.
Yeah, and I said
the Sears catalog.
Yeah, the Sears catalog.
I don't think I've ever pleasured myself to any of those things, though.
No. It was a
childish
pleasure.
Well, there were chicks in there. There were toys in there. That was before you...
Toys.
You pleasured yourself to toys?
No, it wasn't about...
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
I like how Pip acts it out like one of those Christmas monkeys.
Well, no, I'm playing the imaginary timpani. Don't you play air timpani?
Timpani?
Yeah, it's a type of drum.
Oh, I thought it was a type of ape.
That's patch 152 in the cork triton. Thank you very much.
All right, so I brought this to everybody's attention, and I feel like Joe wanted to talk about this for a very specific reason. Because I felt like, on a smaller scale, it hit close to home to a conversation Joe and I were having.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air.
Well, you can talk about it on air. Just don't say names. Yeah. You could be vague about it. Yeah. Just don't say names.
Oh, okay.
So, Monique... She's a comedian, took to Instagram to request her fans boycott Netflix for gender and color bias.
Mm-hmm.
She said the streaming service offered her $500,000 for her upcoming stand-up special, a rate she found profoundly insulting in light of what Amy Schumer was paid. Schumer wound up getting $13 million. She argued she should be paid as well as her male counterparts, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. They were paid $20 million for each of their stand-up specials. That's a total of $40 and $60. So Rock had two, Chappelle had three. Seinfeld was offered $100 million for his specials in 2017. Netflix paid $40 million reportedly to Ellen DeGeneres. When asked why she was being offered $500,000, Netflix said that is what they feel she will bring in.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, you know, we want to get in the business of Monique. We want to get into business with you. We don't feel you're $100 million or $13 million. We feel you're $500,000. We can make $500,000 with you. Vulture's Jesse David Fox wrote in September that Netflix had changed the pay grade that comedians could expect. He said, I'm well aware that these people on the top are the top of the top. He said, but for comparison's sake, I remember hearing mid-level comedians getting paid like $10,000 for a Comedy Central hour special. So here's my thing. Monique does not have to like the offer. But how do you say racial and gender bias when you've just named two black people that are getting paid a lot of money and you've named two females that are getting paid a lot of money, named Chappelle and Rock, Schumer and DeGeneres? So how is this race and gender?
I think that there is an argument that can be made that in Hollywood in general, that women and people of color are paid less than the white guys in the blockbusters. But... having said that, she just like shot her own case by using examples of people who are getting pretty good payday that are in the classes that she's saying are not getting paid.
See, I have no problem for her asking for more money. We all have that, right?
Right.
This goes to what Joe Joe is putting together a show, and he offered a comedian a gig, and she felt it wasn't high enough. And Joe's kind of like, who does she think she is?
I was very upset. It's a very nice woman. She's been doing comedy 5 years. I worked with her at a show last year. She was mildly entertaining, you know. I felt.
By the way, he's never given my act that type of glowing compliment. Yeah.
Oh, well, I was just gonna say, wow, damned with a.
I pray one praise. Day I can be mildly entertaining in Joe's eyes.
Yeah,
I know. I aspire to that.
Yes, you should.
She's been doing it. You know, she's been doing it, I guess, 5 years. She's one of these people that are always on Facebook pushing her gig here and there. But it's
kind of what it's for.
I understand that, you know, but it's not like a headline gig or anything like that. So basically, I feel, in my opinion, that she is a good MC and on the way to being an okay middle.
Right.
So I offered her a middle spot, you know, in the show that I'm putting together. And then she turned around and she wanted this bigger sum. And I'm like, but thank you and no thank you. And I mentioned, you know, it was a Temple show. Well, if it's a Temple show, you should have got more money.
That's what she was saying.
Yeah, that's what she was
saying. The Jews are full of money. They're filthy with this stuff. They're throwing it around. They're wiping their asses with $100 bills.
Yes. So basically, I was like, I really had to go, are you and then I stopped. And
who do you think you are?
Are you funning with me? That's
I drove with
say.
The sound equipment and backdrop for nothing more than a buffet 3 hours each way with no hotel last week. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I you know, and I like, and you know, it's funny because I even bring it up on my act. I'm starting to do, am I having an is it me moment? Is it me?
Most of the time.
That's why I wrote stupid over here.
So, how am I the stupid one if you're asking me for advice?
That doesn't mean to me.
That's all you respond to. Kindness doesn't work.
But I wrote Davin. I go, am I at a line here? You know, I mean, and then he said, well, look, this it's the budget. That's what the budget pays. But I don't think for the sum that she was asking for that she's worth
well,
that.
This is what, this
for
is what
20
I said
to 25.
Joe. I said to Joe, I go, first of all, welcome to booking. Yeah. I go, here's the thing. She can ask for what she wants. And you can offer what you want. And that's the reality. So to bring it back to this, Netflix offered what they want.
Right.
And Monique had a different amount. Mm-hmm. So you can part like gentlemen and gentlewomen, or you can bitch about it. And I suggest that Joe did not want to pay that sum to this comedian, so I suggest another one. Did you get that person?
I'm waiting to hear back. I saw her Friday. Yeah, we worked together Friday, and I offered it this afternoon, so I'm waiting to hear back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now, Trucker Tom said, and I was going to bring up this point as well, that he thinks that she's grossly overestimating her popularity, and it has nothing to do with gender or race.
And as comedians, we do that, but she brought up, you know, I'm an Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2009. That
doesn't have to do with comedy.
I was having this conversation with somebody right before the show on Facebook, another comedian who actually agree with Monique. I said, well, Amy Schumer sold out Madison Square Garden. This person's playing clubs. This person's coming in the area in a couple weeks. So they're not really off base. I got no problem with her. I have no problem with Monique asking for more.
Right, no.
I do have a problem with her asking her friends, her fans, excuse me, to boycott Netflix. They didn't wrong her. If they had promised to give Monique $500,000 and they gave her $200,000 and then told her to scram because it didn't get the amount of downloads they expected and she was jilted $300,000, then yeah, Monique, use your name, get your fans activated, motivated, tell them. But no, this is just business.
Yeah, and it's just what the market will bear in some cases. And it, you know, if like you said, if she didn't like the deal, she can walk. But it's like they didn't do her dirty.
Yeah, they gave $40 million to Rock. They gave $60 million to Chappelle. They gave Amy
$13 million.
So you know, it's what it's the stature, how the comic is reaching out to the people. You know, and Monique doesn't have the draw that the other three have.
And you know, Monique has a couple of options here. She could sell it to somebody like Showtime.
Right.
See if they'll give them more. Showtime buys specials. Mm-hmm. She could also do a per-stream deal, which is pretty much what a comic would do, a door deal. You know, some of the bigger names will come into town. They'll go, you know what? I can't work for your budget. Let's do a door deal. I get the door. She, if Monique thinks that she's such a draw, but and she wants to be on the Netflix platform, go, listen, give me $200,000, and I get X amount per stream.
Right. And a lot of things is that a lot of comics are, you know, selling a special is a very tough thing to do nowadays, because it's not like,
well,
you know,
she's in her defense, she's a lot more of a name than a lot of the specials I
know. I know. Yeah, right. Yeah. But a buddy of mine, I don't want to name names, but a friend of mine taped a special last year, and he's also doing a CD, and I was hanging out with him, or I was talking on the phone with him. I hear you're at the clubs working on a CD. You just did a special. He goes, yeah, I have the special. But he goes, I'm using the special because I have a project I'm working on with a network, and I want to work the special in conjunction as a bargaining chip. I figured I would do this CD, you know, as something, you know, just to do.
He's doing a lot on spec that he's eventually going to recoup his costs.
Right. You know, so I'm going to do the CD, and I'll make money selling the CD because I have the material I wanted to do.
Because CDs are hot sellers.
Well, they are, because you could take a CD, you could put it, or a download, for argument's sake.
Put out a Blu-ray or a DVD.
Or a Blu-ray or, you know, something like that, you know. But he's using the special that he did last year that's already in the can as a bargaining chip to do something else. It's business. It's the way business is done. You know, it's the draw on here. You know what? I mean, Chappelle's specials are amazing. Rock specials are amazing. Amy Schumer is going on the hype of, you know, of the hype.
Well, she's
of
been
movies.
In a bunch of movies. She's got a show that's on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
She's current. That's what they're saying. Your big blast was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Not to say I'm her, you know, demographic, but I'm wondering if Monique has been doing stuff more current that I'm not aware of, but I'm not aware of what she's been up to.
Like I said, Monique is playing locally at a very good club.
Yeah.
Very good club. I'm sure they added shows. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they'll be well attended. Monique is doing a club. Amy Schumer sold out Madison Square Garden twice.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Just how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean Amy Schumer's better than Monique or one's better than... It's just the reality of it.
It's the way the business is, the way they percept you, the way they percept how you can get sales.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Chris Rock...
Dave Chappelle.
Thank you very much. Dave Chappelle and Amy Schumer have a, you know, much more cachet right now.
Or at least that's
does.
What Netflix
mm-hmm.
thinks.
That,
I tend to agree.
Yeah,
I tend to agree as well.
At this point, yeah.
I think there's a lot more people that look forward to a Chris Rock special or a Dave Chappelle special than a Monique special. Now, she's got her fans.
Yes. Yes.
She's got her fans, but Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle have much more broader appeal. They've had a lot more sustained success for a lot longer.
Agreed.
That Chappelle show was a juggernaut, and because of that show, he was looked at as a comedic genius. And then it just added to the mystique when he disappeared.
Yeah.
Chris Rock's, some of his specials are fucking legendary.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a couple specials that they're 20 years ago. Comics Still to Go, that's one of the best specials I've seen.
Yeah.
And Chris does a lot of fucking movies, and he had a TV show. Now, not every movie Chris Rock does.
Is golden,
but
still.
He's still putting out product.
But if he goes to do a special, it's going to get big money. Chappelle's going to put out a special, it's going to get big money. For right now, Amy Schumer puts out a special, it's going to get big money. Monique will put out a special, it'll do well, but it's not going to do the big numbers that the other three are going to do.
Right, and I don't really see in this instance, now if she was going up for a role in a movie, I think that especially if it was a comedy, having a comedy career would work for her. But at this part, she's saying, yeah, but I got an Oscar, and it's like, yeah, but were you funny? I mean, you know, what does that have to do with it?
I mean, people do care about those things.
But
I was telling my friend, I go, listen, look at Mark Price, played Skippy on Family Ties. That was one of the biggest shows at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Family Ties is one of the biggest shows. Worked with Michael J. Fox. And,
yeah, it was really big.
Now, Mark Price is playing small clubs.
Yeah.
You know, he might be a special, he's still a special event in a small club, but there's been some time since when he was at the top of his game.
Right.
To now. There's been some time. Monique didn't just win an Oscar.
Right.
She didn't win it. Like, if Monique won it this past year and everybody was talking about it, go, all right, you know what, maybe she's hot right now. It's been a while. It's been almost a decade.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that, you know what? Some people are double and triple threats. But one being good in one platform doesn't mean that you're good in another. And so I'm saying that what I'm bringing to it is saying that just because you won an Oscar doesn't necessarily mean you're funny.
Yeah, but she's known as
funny.
I know
she's funny, but I'm just saying that should not even be part of the negotiation. It's like...
No, you throw everything you can at the negotiation.
Yeah, you can, but it's like that's not going to move me.
Trust
as the
me.
Person throwing out the money.
I throw out everything I can. When I'm negotiating... Well, I've done this, that, and the other. And then, well, I don't care. But I still throw it out there.
And look at this. It's marshmallow.
Like, Joe didn't even get to that point in the negotiation with the person. They didn't even
She hasn't done anything. She hasn't done anything.
Joe's not
She's emceed some shows. And, you know, I mean, she works. She's done nothing.
Wind him up and watch him.
I know. And I'm really upset about you talking about me like I'm not here.
The speed at which Joe responded to the Monique story made me go, I know what this is about.
I know what it's about. Yeah.
This is hitting the nerve.
Yeah.
I really upset. I mean, are you kidding me?
I could tell.
Yeah, sometimes a cigar isn't just a cigar.
But see, you're making the mistake. Don't take it personal.
I'm not taking it personal.
You happen to be a guy, and I don't mean this in a bad way when I say this, but you happen to be a guy who's always go, you know what? I'll take it. When perhaps maybe you should have held out for more. Maybe you were worth more. Maybe you should have been higher on the show. So you've always come from, and we've had that conversation, so you come from the mentality of, you know what, somebody's offering you work, you're open, take the fucking gig, you don't know what it's going to lead to.
Right.
She's coming from a go, listen, if I take this, then other people are going to think.
Lowball me too.
Exactly. It's just two different mentalities.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was talking to our buddy I was on Friday night.
Okay, the one who put it together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not the one who put it together. The gig I was doing, Robbie's gig.
The one he put together?
Yes. On Friday night. I thought he was still talking about the Temple game. I'm sorry, it's late. Robbie Apple. So I'm working for Robbie on Friday, and I told him the story, and he goes, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. And he goes,
yeah.
There's another woman comic.
I told you. I go, I think women comics, if they become decent, they get paid more and they work more than male comedians. They do. I've seen it with comedians that have opened for me. Now are making good money doing way more than I have because they're, you know, it's not me too. It's like, well, there's not a lot of you. It's just what it is. Female comics have to put up with certain shit that we don't have to, I'm sure. But if you're a decent...
Nobody wants to see your boobs.
Don't say that.
Oh,
you'd
true.
Be surprised.
Huh, really?
But
we'll
yeah,
talk later.
Then, like she was mentioning another comic. He goes, yeah, she wants the same thing. It's like, and her act is okay.
Is it named after a news channel?
Yes.
Okay. that's CNN. Always asking for more.
I thought you spelled it differently.
And I got and the only thing is I could think of it in that context because as soon as he mentioned it in that kind of term, I'm like, boom. And he goes, that's how I go, of course. Because that's the only way I could think of those two terms. You know?
Anyway. All right. So then let's quickly do this, and I guess we'll take a break and then do some Jack. You know, we don't have limits now, so we just keep on blabbing.
We do whatever we want.
This would have been a 5-minute fucking.
I like it's liberating.
It is.
It's
it
liberating.
Is. I don't want to stay this way for too long.
No, I understand because we like doing the show this way.
Yes,
where we don't have to stop, we could go. It's
where I can say cunt sucker at any time.
Well, at any time. Well, but that's not the. But you know what I mean.
Exactly. We'll just let you carry the moment, stupid. Because you were trying to procure a word.
Sometimes I like to be decent and I like to walk around in my bra, but as soon as I get home, I like to take it off. Sometimes it's nice doing a show. I'll show it.
And the cats like batting them around
tonight. Yeah, tonight we're letting them babies fly.
Exactly.
Letting them flap around.
All right. So Steve Brown was viciously attacked by a heckler at the Comedy House Theater in Columbia, South Carolina. Coincidentally, I've played there. The attacker threw a large ball. Did you guys watch this video?
Holy
shit. Okay, I just make sure you guys.
Yeah.
I put it on my own Facebook page. I didn't put it on the Davin's Den page. Maybe I should. The attacker threw a large bar stool and was swinging the mic stand with intent to cause serious injury. Seriously, he looked like he should have been in Game of Thrones.
Well, the guy was swinging around the microphone, and the comedian is trying to get away from him.
First of all, you're right. The comedian's trying to get away. Why are you still staying on the stage? Run off the fucking stage. There's plenty of more club.
I think he was afraid to turn his back.
No, you don't have to turn your back. You just run.
Run backwards?
So several patrons were injured, and $400 worth of damage was done. Brown blames the lack of security.
Yeah.
This was an old... I mean, this went on for a while. This was one of the longest one of these I've seen. I've had chairs thrown at me.
That's crazy.
But, I mean, this guy was up there swinging. And it was black-on-black crime. It wasn't like it was a white guy or a black... This was black-on-black crime.
It was just...
Or attempted crime.
At one point, because the stool had been knocked over and the assailant had the mic stand in his hand and he was he was like swinging it almost like a bat, but also like sort of like a sword.
He was like Jack Sparrow.
It was crazy. And then I almost wanted the comedian to grab the chair and start treating him like a lion.
Well, for the first mistake he made is you don't give up the mic stand.
No.
If you notice now, Joe.
Well, when it's grabbed and thrown into the
as soon as you see somebody coming on that stage, you hold on to that mic stand.
Well, here's the thing. Joe Cumia was playing a gig one time years ago, and there was some drunk dude, and there was a fight.
Yeah, but that's Anthony.
No. So Joe had to go to court, and it was like I think Joe hit him with a stool and to defend himself, and he was saying it was an assault thing. So Joe grabbed us one day and said, "Goes all right. Whether you're doing stand up or whether we're doing an acoustic gig, blah blah blah. Somebody charges you, don't use." And use your fists, because if you hit him with the mic stand or hit him with the chair, regardless whose fault it is, they're going to say it's now it's an assault with a weapon.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, but you could argue that you're defending yourself.
Yeah, but so, you know, but believe me, and that's what he was. He was attacked.
Did he win?
Yeah, but.
Right, so then you could still use the mic stand.
But still, it was a big hassle. I was working at a place one time, and the guy went nuts and he started to charge me. And while
da,
he's
da, 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 da.
You shouldn't have worn that red shirt, Joe.
The fans go, "Charge!" Joe's like, "Great, I finally have the audience on my side and this is what they're chanting."
This is what they want.
We finish the story.
So, oh, no.
Well, because he means audience, you know, he's talking about audience. So the guy's running at me, I'm thinking of what Joe Cumia said.
Right.
I'm like, I move the stool back. I'll go with my fists and stuff like that. Right before he got on stage, a couple of audience members grabbed him and brought him down.
See,
that's why I brought up audience.
I don't think there's been a lessening of security in my 20 years. Most places haven't had security. And I talk about this all the time. I talk about when I perform in the city, whether it be a terrorist walking in or at the clubs when you're doing stuff. Because I've had
people. A terrorist walking in?
You don't think a terrorist would walk into a comedy club? Well, he's a bunch of easy fucking targets.
Okay.
It's been happening in music clubs
in
France.
What's the difference? A bunch of people unsuspecting with no place to go.
Yeah.
You know. They're not very discerning on the type of entertainment they fucking kill people in, Joe. I hate to break the news to you.
Yeah. There goes Maui.
Shit out of me.
He's a terrorist and she's out of here.
Yeah, she knows what Joe's capable of. So I don't think there's a lessening of security. Do you?
No, I think the security is still there. The security. I think there's more of it now.
Really?
Yeah.
How much security when we went on the road was there? Okay. I rest my case.
Well, I'm saying I'm seeing more in the clubs I work. I mean, down there, no.
But it's not down there. You happen to work a certain amount of clubs locally, and so you're very familiar with those clubs. What I'm telling you is security, it's not in the majority. There's plenty of places where, like, you're on your own for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems to me that in any performance space, you're kind of trying to judge what's the possibility of that happening.
High.
You know, I mean, and in comedy clubs, it's pretty high.
Yes. You're adding alcohol.
But
and
did the story never explained what was the situation that escalated it to that point.
Unless
alcohol.
Unless Steve Brown said, "Would you please come onto the stage and swing the mic stand and throw the bar stool at me?" There is nothing that should escalate it to that point.
But I wonder what did.
Are you victim blaming?
A little victim, blaming, Joe. A little victim blaming.
You're saying that he.
Are you saying he wanted
him?
It? He was looking longingly at him.
No,
I saw what he was wearing. It wasn't slutty.
Like I said, look, I'm not saying it's right, but I wonder: did the guy goof on a girl's chick? You know what this?
Whatever the fuck it is, it's not an excuse for an assault.
But what I'm saying is, what I understand.
You're
that.
Just curious.
I'm curious because the story is not saying what else. There's no defense of coming up on stage
Fine.
And assaulting
okay.
somebody.
Okay.
But look, we're both comics. We work every weekend. We deal with this stuff all the time. I'm curious, as a comic, what was the thing that escalated?
I did a Kim Kardashian Amistad joke in a fucking posh resort, and I had a chair thrown at me. Do you really think audience members are weighing pros and cons before they do stupid shit?
When did this happen?
I've told this story at Atlantis.
Yeah.
With this time or last time?
No, not recently. A couple times ago. I've told this story.
Okay.
Many times.
But you wound up being friends with the guy afterwards, right?
No!
Oh.
There you go. Chair shopping. I'll throw this one at you the next year.
I don't have to retell. I've told the story multiple times.
No. See, the chair is not a gateway weapon, and he's going to go up to guns and things.
A gateway weapon. A chair is a gateway weapon.
Sure, it starts with a chair, next thing a knife, then a gun.
Well, in this case, it was a chair, then it was a mic stand. He was pretty good with that mic stand. I would shit my pants if I had to fight him.
I'm sure that he did have to go to
the laundry.
I
think Steve Brown was.
Yeah.
So now, honestly, I don't think security is going to get better until a comic dies. Until somebody dies.
Right.
I think that's what's going to take. Because we've seen enough of these.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
But I've told this story before. Now, Comedy House Theater is in Columbia, South Carolina. I used to play that club. The club moved. Where I played it, it's the same club, but it moved and changed owners.
Okay.
Now, when I played it, they would have mainstream weekends and urban weekends.
I got a funny feeling this was an urban weekend.
You can tell from the video that...
No. But what I'm saying, now the club just does urban weekends.
Oh, okay.
There is no more mainstream. The club went completely urban, which is why I don't play it anymore.
Okay, but
I was there...
Why? Because you wouldn't be...
you don't want to get hit with a mic stand.
Play there? No,
but I'm saying is they don't bring in white acts.
Okay.
Now that I've spelled it out,
I guess
I won't be invited to work for the administration. Although maybe we'll get to that next week.
I was giving the code for black and white, but
we're talking in code. I said cunt lick sucker.
Well, you're using mainstream and urban.
All right,
I know
fine.
What they're saying.
Fine.
But what I mean is like, would they not hire you to entertain at an urban?
They don't feel they don't feel I would appeal to their audience anymore.
Okay.
I would not. Their clientele would not appreciate. Now they may be wrong.
I'm thinking they're wrong.
But
whatever.
Right. So usually when I would work the club, and it was a beautiful club where it was.
Yeah.
Usually when I would work the club, I was featuring at the time, I would be on the mainstream shows with other white comics. Although I worked with Ari Spears, who's a black man, but he appeals to a mainstream audience because he was on Mad TV at the time.
Mm. Okay.
So it wasn't just a color thing. It was who are they appealing to. You understand what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Whereas, like, you know, but now I happen to work, they hired me to work an urban weekend.
Okay.
Which nobody knew. Which I didn't know.
Okay.
And this was at the time when I was doing the joke that where I dropped the word nigga. Where my niggas at? That joke.
Okay.
Not going to do the whole joke, but that was part of the joke. Blah, blah, blah. Worked well. Audiences usually enjoyed it. White comedians sometimes did not. Joe is one who did not.
Okay.
And generally, if there was ever an issue, and there really wasn't, it'd be a white audience member. But it was at the same club. I had a conversation in the parking lot with a comedian. Said, "Well, you know what? It made me realize if I'm going to do that joke with the N-word,
mm-hmm.
Then I have to do it in front of black people." And mm-hmm. I've talked about this before. Otherwise, I don't deserve to do the joke. If
right.
I don't feel confident enough that the material is worth doing and it's worth it to say this hurtful word,
right?
Then I don't deserve to do the joke.
Right.
So that's why. And now currently in my act, I don't have any jokes with that word. But at the time, I did. And it was a big applause break joke.
He had
for
plenty of them. Every other word was.
No, didn't.
Excuse me, President Trump? Yes, I'll be right there. I'll be ready to do what I can. Yeah. Take over for Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Fuck yeah, I like a challenge.
What's my name? Michael Richards.
Funny. So I had to do seven shows. I think seven shows Wednesday, one show Wednesday, one show Thursday, one show Sunday, two on Friday, two on Saturday. This was when comedy was good.
Yeah.
So there's seven shows, predominantly African Americans.
Right.
Five of the shows were very good.
Oh. Uh-oh. But I'm experiencing a butt moment here.
Two of the shows.
Uh-oh.
Not so much. I've told the story before.
I'm not remembering.
So I am assuming I've done my where my niggas at prison joke. It's a takeoff on a DMX song.
Okay.
It's a takeoff on the and I go, where my heaves at, where my heaves at, representing the niggas.
So, oh my God.
You might remember this joke.
I think I do.
It was a big joke for me, and yes. It would piss off Joe when it would work.
Oh, and the funny thing is we would I'd be in the car and I'd have the window down to the light and we'd discuss, I don't like the joke. I don't like niggers. I don't like the joke. And I'm like,
no,
oh,
you
shit, roll
the window. Step on the gas! What are you doing?
Isolate escalate that in case he wants a political career.
Oh, my God.
Why? Because things are never taken out of context.
Sure.
No, never.
And they live in shittles. What?
Excellent soundbite. Excellent.
So, whatever. But there was comics like Joe who didn't like. But I feel like I have to do the joke. So I guess I'm about 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't think I probably was not connecting with the audience thus far. So, 5 minutes is a pretty long time to not connect. It's, hit or miss. I'm trying to work it out, trying to see what they'll like. I'm probably dancing up there, mm-hmm. Trying to figure out what these folks are going to like.
Right.
So I do the where my
no.
niggas.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no.
Well, I've determined that if I'm going to do this joke, I need to do it in front of the audiences filled with African Americans. I've made that decision.
No, I understand that, but you're 5 minutes in and they don't like you now. And now you're pulling out the big guns.
I was newer. I was brash.
God,
I was
just
bold.
Tell me what
where
happened.
Where would you, now knowing... would you do the joke in that situation that night? Would have you still done the joke? Would you have moved it back?
Now? If yeah. I'm in that same situation?
Yeah.
Fuck. I probably would have shied off of it that night.
Uh-huh.
If I because you have to have, looking back now, obviously, you have to have the audience with you to take them down that path.
Right.
Now, but
right.
at the time, I'm looking, well, this will fucking get him. It's one of my best jokes. This joke always works. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, God.
But now I probably go, all right, you know what? They're not with me. Let's either push it back or let's just not do it. And also now I have a lot more material.
Right, right.
I'm newer in the game. I'm an established feature. And, right. and I'm moving up to headliner. I'm already starting to transition to headline. But this is probably 10 years in. So, I'm a little bit more savvy now.
No, I'm getting you. By the way, Trucker Tom says, you never connecting with the audience? No, that never happens.
Fuck off. You've never seen that. Every time you've seen me, I've connected with the audience, even when I had no voice. And Joe would say that was probably my best connection with the audience. But anyway. So, where my niggas at? Where my niggas? Now, it's a DMX song. And I say it's DMX, DMX, and I do the whole fucking thing. No, they're not with me.
What happened when you laid that punchline out? Did you get groans? Did you get
if only?
Oh,
was
dear.
It silence?
Furniture?
Oh, if only? Oh, no, I think the seats were like down to bolted down. It's a theater situation. A lot of vociferous displeasure.
Oh, where the
boo? You suck. Ba ba ba.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Oh, it went tits up.
Oh my.
It was the BitConnect of sets. I got 300 black people that are not pleased with the little white Jewish boy from the north.
Oh,
I got southern
no.
black people that are not pleased with the white Jewish guy. But it was a mistake.
Yes.
It was a mistake. The way you said it was a mistake.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yes.
It was a mistake.
So
by the way, that's southern for go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it is.
And you're 5 in?
About that.
Ooh,
so how much do you have? Like 20
long,
more to go?
A
like
25. Long fucking night. Wow.
So now the club is at the back of the room, and they're flashing me the light to get off stage.
Really?
Yes.
They're like, no, don't even try.
They're trying to save me.
They're trying to save me.
And now I'm like that. Like you're a baseball
I haven't
fan.
Put my sheet on yet.
Oh, God.
Let's go talk about statues some more. Go for March.
Yeah. Now, you're the little engine that could, right?
Of course I am.
Yes, I knew. This
now, we're
gonna...
now we're all baseball fans here. Well, yes. Joe, not so much. He likes the Mets. But we're baseball fans.
Ouchie.
But we're all baseball fans. And we've seen when the pitcher looks in for the sign, and the catcher gives him every sign, and the pitcher's being stubborn about it, shaking him off.
Yep.
No, I don't want to throw the curveball. No, I don't want to throw the slider. No, I want to throw the fastball. I know it's down to 85 miles per hour, but I got this. If I can just keep on going,
I can
write this ship. So I'm shaking them off like, no. They're flailing, no. They're yelling. The audience is yelling shit. I'm like, I'd throw a book at you, but you wouldn't know what to do with it. Now I'm going
no,
back.
Yes.
You know me. I'm not going to go out like a bitch.
No, I know. You're really just going to... pour gas all over that shit.
I can fight out of this.
Oh boy.
I can. I'm like a cat that gets in Pip's clutches. I don't want to go live with the horde, but you're already trapped. There's no escape. Just accept your fate. You might get AIDS, you might lose a leg, but accept your fate.
You're coming.
That's a little too accurate.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going quietly into the good night, though. I'm plugging through. I just know if I can antagonize this angry horde of Southern African Americans that did not appreciate the niggas joke.
I can't imagine.
Did you call them you people?
Use people there. What's wrong with use people there?
I don't want to defuse the situation. Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
So eventually I got off earlier than I was supposed to.
Okay.
I survived the evening.
Did they turn around even at all?
I probably did a few more minutes, and then they just kept on, like, fucking, you know,
yelling and yelling until...
They were yelling. The club clearly did not want me on stage any longer.
Oh, my God.
And I had more week to do.
Oh.
There was more week to do.
What night was it?
It was one of the earlier shows.
Oh.
So now you're kind of shaking from this. You're kind of shaking from this. But, you know, I bounced back. I had a good week. And I'm
that's because they threw him.
let's see how this Yankee bounces.
I'm talking to the booker about it. She goes, yeah, we kind of threw you to the wolves on that one. I don't know why we put you on that Urban Week. Now, again, I've played Urban crowds. I had done them. I can do them now. It's not my first go-to.
Right, but I'm
certainly better at it now than I was. Obviously, that would not be something so
you
early.
You know what not to say.
Yes. There's words.
You know what this, word this, you do not say.
As it turns out, there's trigger words. I said trigger words.
Yes.
Trigger words. Tango. So, yeah, we kind of threw you to the wolves on that one. But yeah, we're going to move you up to headliner.
Well, you showed them.
Okay. Cool.
So I got moved up to headliner. Unfortunately, they then sold the club, and the booker was so I never got the headliner.
They probably all knew that too.
Yeah,
we're moving up to headliner. All right,
it was about a year turnaround because that's what it was, the club you play it once a year. Mm. So that's my Columbia Comedy House Theater, South Carolina story.
So you have felt this guy's pain almost.
Well,
almost.
let's keep it in perspective.
Yeah.
As much as they hated me, and they did. Nobody threw shit at me on that night. Nobody swung anything at me at that night.
Nobody got on stage with you.
And I was clearly outnumbered with no place to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And
so it can be a little unruly down there.
See, when we talk about, you know, I mean, like, we're using hyperbole, saying an ugly crowd or they wanted to kill you or anything like that. Usually it's not really physically viable, but this guy getting on stage, that's terrifying. That's terrifying for any performer, that you could just be left to some crazy person, drunk person, somebody you aggravated, and it could be over absolutely nothing,
because
you don't know. But, I mean, this is the world we live in now. There should be more security.
So that's my story.
I'm
sticking to it. Let's take a quick break. On the break, we're going to play some... new music from Martin Nokun with Pump Up the Music, and Afro Jockers and V1R00C. I don't understand. Joe, you're in music. What the fuck is with the names?
I don't know.
Okay. So we got Martin Nokun and Afro Jockers. And Afro Jockers' song is Love You Anymore. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. We're going to take a short break, come back, do a little bit of Ann Jackson, and we're going to get the fuck out of Dodge. So don't go anywhere.